KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
This is KAEB 91.9 on your FM dial. Your one-stop shop in Sandpoint from classic oldies to banging new modern.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Commercial fishermen are increasingly struggling to find and pay for insurance that protects their boats and their crews. The state legislature passed a bill this session that aims to address the issue by providing another coverage option. Whether Governor Mike Dunleavy signs the legislation remains to be seen, as does its potential to help fishermen across the state. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfeld has more.
It's a warm, sunny day in an otherwise dreary southeast spring. Cynthia Adams is catching up with fellow fishermen in the Haines Harbor several weeks before the summer salmon season.
Yeah, come to work on my boat.
Her boat is a cream-colored stern picker built in the mid-80s. It's called the Lady Hawk.
Actually, we can come in here, so. Sorry, it smells a little bit like a fishing boat, but.
The boat has earned the smell. Adams has fished for salmon in the Upperland Canal for 25 years. Over that period, she says, all of her operating costs have soared, as fish prices have stagnated. Amid the squeeze, she says she's constantly weighing whether one of those expenses, insurance, is worth the price. This season, Adams says she'll pay about $500 per month for crew insurance, more than double what it was several years ago. On top of that, she paid more than $4,000 to insure her boat for the summer.
I haven't had to use it ever, and it just keeps going up and up and up, that cost. So you just have to stop and think, okay, is this in my budget? You know, is this smart?
Adams isn't alone. Insurance for commercial fishermen has never been cheap, but industry observers say the cost has exponentially increased over the last several years, a reality that's pushed state lawmakers to look at potential solutions. Some fishermen, like Adams, still purchase coverage each year, but it's a major financial strain. Others forgo it entirely, leaving them with no financial protection in a case of disaster. That's a risky situation, says Susan Erickson, owner of PW Insurance, Inc., an insurance agency based in Petersburg.
If it's your boat and you're a one-man operation and your boat sinks, that's your choice. But if you've got a deckhand that is injured on your vessel, you are responsible.
Soaring premiums aren't limited to commercial fishing vessels. Homeowners across the country and world are facing the same issue, as inflation and intensifying natural disasters spur billions of dollars in insured losses every year. But a major challenge in commercial fishing specifically is that there's a shrinking set of companies willing to offer policies. That means each insurer is taking on more risk and can be pickier about who they cover and at what cost. Maddie Lightsey is the owner of Alaska Boats and Permits, a marine brokerage firm based in Homer.
It has actually tanked purchases before because people have been unable to get insurance and their lender won't fund. And that's just a full stop, and they thought they had a boat to fish for the season, and they don't.
The issue has grown so urgent that lawmakers are hoping to do something about it. Both chambers of the state legislature recently passed a bill that seeks to provide fishermen another option. Governor Mike Dunleavy has yet to sign the legislation, but if it becomes law, the bill would clear the way for Alaskans to form so-called insurance pools, or co-ops. Those allow each fisherman to contribute a smaller sum of money to a larger pot that the co-op uses to pay claims. It's not a new concept. Similar entities have operated out of Washington State for decades, and many fishermen in Alaska, including in Haines and Southeast, have joined in, says Lightsey.
Because the savings are so significant, like it really truly is sometimes, you know, half the cost or maybe 60% of the cost or something compared to private insurance.
But the co-ops aren't a silver bullet. They're really picky about who joins. And by definition, every member is on the hook for accidents they may have had no role in. Still, some regulators and lawmakers say there's good reason to clear the way for Alaska-based pools. Among them is State Senator Jesse Kiel, who represents Southeast communities, including Haines. He sits on a seafood industry-focused legislative task force working to boost the struggling sector.
Having more control and more options close to home, that can only benefit Alaska fishing families.
It's increasingly important, he says, amid rising costs and depressed fish prices.
As the fleet grays, it really needs to be possible for young folks to start up or maintain a new commercial fishing business here in Southeast Alaska or anywhere on our state's coast.
Back on the Lady Hawk, Adam says she looked into joining a co-op at one point. But at the time, it didn't seem like the pool would reduce her costs. So she's continued renewing her policy with a private carrier and paying more year after year. At least for now, she says, the math isn't working out in her favor. Reporting from the Small Boat Harbor in Haines, I'm Avery Elfeld.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Fisherman-owned company Silver Bay Seafoods announced in March that it was buying international processing giant OBI Seafoods. It's now a partnership between Silver Bay, which bought out the interest that was owned by Cook Aquaculture, and Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, a community-owned group which stayed invested. Silver Bay President and CEO Cora Campbell returned to her Southeast Alaska hometown of Petersburg recently to meet with the fleet. She sat down with KFSK's Olivia Rose to chat about the transition and the future of the OBI plants, which Campbell says will undergo a name change.
We're not planning to use that name going forward, so we will be operating it as Silver Bay Seafoods.
Okay, so all OBI plants will now be Silver Bay plants?
Yes.
Okay. So Silver Bay now owns half of OBI?
That's right. But okay. Silver Bay is the operator for all the facilities. And so essentially what you will see is you'll see the local facility operating as part of the Silver Bay group of plants that includes our other plants in Ketchikan, Sitka, and Craig here in Southeast Alaska. So all four plants will operate as a group. We'll be able to move fish around as is going to make the most sense to get it in the highest value product form, preserve quality, and make sure fishermen get the best service.
You mentioned Silver Bay is going to manage all OBI facilities and operations. Is there any sort of restructuring to that?
I don't think you'll see much change in terms of local employment and what some of your local folks are doing. I think a lot of the changes will happen more at the corporate level, not at the local level, because we had a lot of things here that were working for the community, working for the fishermen. We don't want to change any of that working winning formula. The goal is to make it seamless and supportive so that they can concentrate on running their fishing businesses.
Okay. What's sort of the timeline for this transition?
Well, it's fully under Silver Bay management now, so that has occurred. But really, you can expect to see the transition having taken place in the preseason, which was our goal, and to be fully up and running on all cylinders by the time we start to see, you know, big volume deliveries from the summer fisheries. You know, we do intend to buy gillnet fish, seine fish, crab, longline fish. We do intend to operate a lengthy season. We want to, you know, really make sure that we're supporting the fishermen who operate in a multi-species way.
Will we process all the same product, like all the same way?
That will change a little bit. So we right now even are installing some new equipment at the plant to produce some higher value product forms. But you will still see a lot of the same things happen as well, and many of the same core products.
All right. I have to ask what this upcoming season might look like. Is there anything you can tell me?
Well, I mean, we're pretty excited for the upcoming season in Southeast because there's a couple of factors that I think are really positive. People should feel good that we're seeing strong halibut markets, we're seeing strong crab markets, we're seeing some recovery in the salmon markets after a couple of really difficult years. And our industry is very cyclical, but I think that message that we believe we're turning a corner here and see a lot of hope for the future is one that I hope folks can hear and take heart in.
Mm. I guess in a nutshell, what would you want the fleet to know?
I want people to know that we're a fisherman-owned company that understands the need for fishermen to have the services and the support and the markets that they need. And we're committed to this community. And that's really what I'm hoping that people will take away from this transition.
That was Silver Bay Seafoods President and CEO Cora Campbell talking to KFSK's Olivia Rose about the company's processing plants that were formerly operated by OBI Seafoods.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska's fishing industry and environmental groups don't always agree, but as reported by KUCB's Theo Greenlee, they recently were on the same side, both warning that recent cuts to federal fisheries science could jeopardize Alaska's oceans. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which helps set fishing rules in federal waters, opened its meeting on Thursday, June 5th, in Oregon. According to officials there from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, the Alaska Science Center has lost more than 50 staff since February. Bob Foy directs NOAA's science operations in Alaska. He told the council that his agency is just trying to stay afloat.
You can't lose 51 people and not have that impact our ability to provide our products in a meaningful and a timely way.
The cuts are the work of the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, a Trump initiative whose stated goal is eliminating waste in government programs. The effort has been marked by confusion and controversy since its inception in January. Groups on both sides of the fishing debate say the damage done by DOGE is real and growing. Ben Intignap is a senior scientist with the conservation group Oceana. He says the losses are weakening NOAA's ability to manage fish stocks and protect sensitive ecosystems.
And we really need a fully funded NOAA fisheries program so that we can all come together and make sure that we have sustainable fisheries.
The Federal Fisheries Observer Program is also getting attention. Observers are trained scientists who ride on commercial fishing boats collecting data on fish stocks, bycatch, and compliance. Despite a sometimes adversarial relationship with observers, many fishermen have spoken out in support of the observer program since it became threatened earlier this year. Chris Woodley heads the trade group Groundfish Forum, which represents Bering Sea trawlers. He called the program, quote, the backbone of the North Pacific fisheries, close quote, and warned that cuts could hurt Alaska's commercial sector.
Without observers, there are no fish and there is no revenue.
Woodley does support other Trump recommendations like opening fishing in protected areas such as sea lion habitat. The council is expected to continue the discussion at its next meeting in October.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Now, the rest of the story. Friedrich arrived at the headquarters of General George Washington in December 1777. He was introduced as His Excellency, Lieutenant General Friedrich von Steuben, exalted officer in the service of the King of Prussia. Oh, he had come, he said, to aid the Americans in their revolution. How about that? Now, the Continental Congress and General Washington agreed that what the disheveled, disorganized American troops needed most was the influence of an experienced Prussian general. And that's how Friedrich von Steuben became, quote, drill master of the Continental Army. This Prussian was commissioned a United States major general, but he performed as advertised. In fact, Friedrich turned colonial farmers and merchants into deadly weapons. And more, he prepared the standard drill manual, which became the Bible of American forces for decades to come. And at Yorktown, oh my, now the division under his command distinguished itself. And to this day, historians wonder, could we have won our freedom at all without him? Anyway, we almost didn't have a choice. Prior to his arrival in America, the Continental Congress had decided that no more foreign officers would be commissioned by the Continental Army. You see, General Washington already had more than he knew what to do with, and many in his service had aroused jealousy and discontent among American officers. In fact, the only reason Friedrich von Steuben was not immediately sent home was he made such a grand entrance. Oh, my! He had arrived at Portsmouth impressively attended by a military secretary and an aide-de-camp. His Prussian general's uniform fairly sparkled. His dossier, the most glowing imaginable. It was all a fraud. It was all a fraud. His staff, little more than actors. His uniform, only recently tailored. His references, just a pack of lies. The highest rank he had ever actually attained was half-pay captain in the Prussian army. And he'd had nothing whatsoever to do with the military, anywhere, for 14 years. And this incredible deception was not even von Steuben's idea. He had friends back in Paris, you see, and one in particular who believed that Friedrich von Steuben, despite his lack of credentials, was somehow essential to the ultimate success of the American Revolution. And history has justified that special faith in him. By the way, that one friend in Paris, eager to deceive America for her own good, the fellow who was especially intent upon selling the Continental Army on an illustrious Prussian general who never was, that man never openly admitted his role in the conspiracy. He didn't have to. His signature appears at the bottom of the von Steuben letter of introduction and recommendation. Practically all by himself, Friedrich von Steuben transformed the awkward, uncoordinated, undisciplined soldiers of the American Revolution into an awesome fighting machine. And he got the opportunity in the first place because one man had a gut feeling and a gifted pen. You see, the man who fortunately sent us von Steuben was Ben Franklin. The Benjamin Franklin. Only now you know the rest of the story.
This is Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. Alaska's public schools likely won't get all of the money lawmakers approved in a bipartisan vote last month. That's after Governor Mike Dunleavy unilaterally reduced education funding with a line item veto. Dunleavy cut $50 million in basic per-student funding. He said declining oil revenue left him no choice, though legislative leaders say the budget they approved already accounts for falling oil prices. The veto means districts across the state will have less money for next school year. Lawmakers approved a larger one-time boost last year. Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Superintendent Clayton Holland says he expects school systems across the state will be forced to cut staff, close buildings, and shutter more programs.
It's just devastating to our communities. You know, we've already been, over the years, cutting and cutting away. It's across the board. And I just worry, you know, what that's going to do to everyone, what that does for our students, what that does for the future of Alaska as people look to choose to have options elsewhere.
During this year's legislative session, lawmakers overrode a veto from Dunleavy to increase the base student allocation by $700. It was the only significant increase approved by the legislature in a year otherwise marked by austerity and spending cuts. Thursday's veto was the first time in recent memory, and perhaps longer, that the governor had reduced long-term funding specified by state law. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says the veto could run afoul of the Alaska Constitution's mandate that the state establish and maintain a public school system.
There, I think, is a legitimate question about whether or not we are getting into that area where we are not following the constitutional and Supreme Court mandate to adequately fund education. I think that's an open question at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a lawsuit.
Lawmakers can override a budget veto with a three-quarters majority vote, but State Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, says it's unlikely enough legislators would be available for an override veto until they reconvene in January. The U.S. House Thursday passed President Trump's rescission request, taking back $9.4 billion from foreign aid programs and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The legislation would put into law some of the spending cuts the Trump administration already made, and it would eliminate the next 2 years of federal funding for public media outlets. Alaska Congressman Nick Begich, like most Republicans, voted for the bill. His office did not respond to an interview request yesterday afternoon, but in a statement, he said the rescission bill targets programs that do not reflect the will of the tax-paying public. The bill goes next to the Senate. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan haven't said how they'll vote on it. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Thanks for listening today. We love being a part of your media mix. Tune in every day to catch the best in statewide news and programming. If you love what you hear on your public radio station, consider becoming a member.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Council for Interior Design Qualification, whose certified designers work to protect occupants through the design of code-compliant and accessible environments. Learn more at cidq.org/NPR.
Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Sandpoint and King Cove. GCI offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and pricing as in Anchorage. More information is available at gci.com/internet.
You're listening to Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. This Sunday, the third Sunday in June, people across the country will celebrate Father's Day. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning caught up with some Alaska fathers to find out what they think about it. And it turns out there are many ways to be a dedicated dad.
Dan Powers and his wife and eight kids live in Wrangell. But right now, some of them are here in Petersburg on a different island at the boat harbor. They're getting ready to board a huge cruise ship to play a few songs.
They've all been on the stage forever. They've grown up on the stage.
They'll perform dozens of times this summer. The kids range in age from 19 to 3 months. Powers says they're encouraged to participate, but not forced. He says he tries to teach them to engage with others with purpose.
To care for people, like genuinely care for people, not just get what you need from somebody, but like absolutely taking care of those other people around you.
10-year-old Castle thinks her dad does a great job.
He's the best dad ever. His jokes are really funny.
Roughly 1,000 miles away in Unalaska on the Aleutians, Carlos Tayag is sitting in front of the computer with his 5-year-old son, Rummy.
I'm currently, I don't know what they call us now, a stay-at-home dad or a full-time caregiver.
Tayag says rural Alaska is a great place to raise kids because you get to do unique outings like picking berries on the tundra. Remy also loves books about ships and construction, and they can go see that in person at the harbor.
I tell people all the time it's the best job I've ever had. I love it.
Fatherhood sometimes happens at the office.
Hello. Hi, Jay.
At Petersburg's municipal building, the borough clerk greets Jay Stanton Gregor and his two kids. Their office visits are normal, as Stanton Gregor's been an assembly member for about a decade.
Do you want to grab a seat at the dais?
Sure. I call mayor seat.
That's 9-year-old Margot.
I've been in this building a lot with my father. I think he's great. He's fun, he's funny, and he's nice and very playful.
She says he's also a good listener. That tracks, since Stanton Greger is also a full-time therapist who co-owns a counseling clinic with his wife.
You're listening, like you understand. You're very in it.
I can trust him as someone to always be there for me.
Silas is 13. Trusting his dad was important last weekend when they were hiking on a remote trail and saw a few bears.
And on our way back, we saw another one, and this one was big. It was a chunky bear. You could tell it had been eating well. And this one didn't back down right away. It decided to go into the woods eventually. We stopped for a moment, and my dad pulled out the bear spray and was like, stay on the left of me, trying to keep me safe like a good father would.
So what does Stanton Greger think about fatherhood? Was it what he expected? He says, of course not.
I'll use my firstborn, Silas, as an example. As soon as he was delivered, I was like, you know, floored by there's this little creature who I don't even know yet, but I just would do anything for immediately.
Back at the boat harbor, Powers and his wife take a moment to warm up their voices while holding their baby. It's a song that he wrote about his kids called Honey.
Oh yes, you are sweet like honey, oh yes, my heart.
Powers, Stanton Greger, and Tyag might have different families in different Alaska towns, but on Father's Day, they'll all be celebrated just the same. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
This is Alaska Public Media.
It's a beautiful morning.
And good morning, everybody out here in southwest Alaska. It's supposed to be blowing in King Cove. Hope you guys are okay. It's going to be like 65 and start to mellow out. It's a little bit of wind here, a little bit of rain. Not too bad. Just another day in paradise. What else can a guy can say? And what else? Oh, the news is kind of a little scary. I guess it depends on where you live and what's up. But Israel and Iran seem to be not in a shaking hands stage or launching attacks at each other. I hope this doesn't escalate. Things are always scary, just the way it seems. Another, how do you say it without swearing? Same thing, different day, I'll put it that way. And it just never seems to stop, but let's have to see what happens. And hopefully we don't get involved and it doesn't escalate. I'm a little worried, but anyway, we might as well continue here with the show instead of getting into our world situation, the world problems and all. It's just all for us all to dwell on and to watch and analyze, I guess. Right now, music's more important. So here's a little bit of Waylon Jennings with Low Down Freedom. After that, some Alan Jackson with Song for Life. And then Alaska's own Paul Holmberg with Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And this is Friday, TJIF, and I hope we all have a great day.
Long-haired young girl here beside me, fit my body, warm my mind, sleeping quiet, never knowing by tomorrow she'll be one more thing I'm gonna leave behind. Like them big wheels I'll be rolling, like them rivers gonna flow to sea, 'cause I'd rather leave here knowing that I'd made a fool of love before it made a fool of me. Low down cost me everything I'll ever lose, love. You're as empty as my pockets, from the top of where you start down to the bottom of my shoes. Open highway, lonesome wind blows, tell me something I don't know. Wrap them woman arms around me, tell me why I'm gonna leave when I don't really wanna go. Low down freedom you done cost me everything I'll ever lose. You're as empty as my pockets, from the top of where you start down to the bottom of my shoe. Low down freedom you done cost me everything I'll ever lose. You're as empty.
I don't drink as much as I used to. Lately, it just ain't my style. And the hard times don't hurt like they ought to. They pass quicker, like when I was a child. And somehow I've learned how to listen for a sound like the sun going down. In the magic the morning is bringing, there's a song for the life I have found. My feet on the ground, and the midsummer days sit so heavy, but don't they flow like the breeze through your mind? when nothing appears in a hurry to make up for someone's lost time. And somehow I've learned how to listen for a sound like the sun going down in the magic the morning is bringing. There's a song for the life I have found. It keeps my feet on somehow I've learned how to listen for a sound like the breeze dying down in the magic the morning is bringing. There's a song for the friend I have. My feet on the ground. She keeps my feet on the ground. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. So let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor faint and a struggling seaman, sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar, eager eyes, they're watching longing for the lights along the shore. So let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor faint and a struggling seaman, brother. Some poor sailor's tempest tossed, he's trying now to make the harbor in the dark.
be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor faint and a struggling seaman.
I'm going to follow up, Paul, with a little bit of Randy Travis. We have three of them, Forever and Ever, Amen, Is It Still Over, and then a Dig Two Graves.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now, this love that I feel for you always will be. Well, you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Takes its toll on the body, makes the young girl's brown hair turn gray. But honey, I don't care, I ain't in love with your hair. And if it all fell out, well, I'd love you anyway. They say time can play tricks on memory, make people forget things they knew. It's happening to me. I've already forgotten every woman but you. Oh, darling, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, just listen to how this song ends. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever, amen. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever. Has turned out to be so inconvenient, and wishing I was with you just seems to use up all my time. You've been gone so long that it's hard to recall just how the dream went, and all but this broken heart in me I guess is doing fine.
Is it still over? Are we still through? Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. I've half a mind to take the time to find somebody new, but I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. That lie that I tried to slip by you was told with good intentions. It was just another way to say I love you and protect you from the truth. And half a pound of cure is surely worth a half an ounce of pure prevention. And trying to explain while I'm insane, the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. Is it still over? Are we still through? Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. But I've half a mind to take the time to find somebody new. But I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. Still through. Since my phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. Well, I've had my mind to take the time to find somebody new, but I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. If I repeat myself, it's 'cause I've nothing else to do. And I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. I'm not too sure that I'm still over you.
You on the day we wed, till death do us part. Yeah, that was what I said. But things have changed since I made that vow. The love I felt for you is so much deeper now. So I've made up my mind. When the family sings sweet by and by, they might as well go on and tell us both goodbye. 'Cause you've come to be my heart and soul. Ere I breathe, the reason there's life in these bones. So I've made up my mind. Girl, if it's your time, they can dig two graves. Just carve one stone. 'Cause without you here, I won't last long. Your love's the blood these veins. So if he calls you home, they can dig two graves. Surely the good Lord won't ask me to be that strong, 'cause it kills me just to think about you being gone. They can dig two graves, just carve one stone. 'Cause without you here, I won't last long. Your love's the blood running through these veins. So if he calls you home,
they can dig two graves. Tell the Lord above, no need to wait if he calls you home. They can dig two graves.
Yeah, three female country stars coming next. We have Terry Clark with Northern Girl, Lori Morgan with Train Wreck of Emotion, and it might be some time for Cold Tattoo, Kathy Mattea.
Never hit the brakes. I'm lying in the rubble, spoken ash, my heart's still pounding from the impact of the crash. I can see tomorrow's headlines, heart broke from blind devotion, just another victim of a train wreck of emotion. We were burning like a furnace as he poured on the coal. Ground. But when that smoke had cleared, he was nowhere around. I'm lying in the rubble, cinder smoke and ash. My heart's still pounding from the impact of the crash. I can see tomorrow's headlines, heart broke from blind devotion, just another victim of a train wreck of emotion.
Left by the